It's Friday, August 16th. I'm Travell Anderson.
And I'm Priyanka Arabindi, and this is What a Day, the show where we have never felt closer to Kamala Harris than when she reacted with horror to VP nominee Tim Walz saying that he doesn't put any seasoning on his tacos.
Listen, the DNC wanted the whitest man they could find to be her running mate, and they delivered.
He said meat and cheese only. On today's show, the death toll in Gaza has reportedly exceeded 40,000 people. Plus, the VP candidates have set a date to debate.
But first, 8 years after Michelle Obama famously told the Democrats, when they go low, we go high, the party seems to be taking more of a yeah-but approach to the high road this election cycle. And it looks like it's getting under former President Donald Trump's skin. During a press conference at his golf club in Bedminster, New Jersey on Thursday, Trump said that he's, quote, entitled to personal attacks against Harris because, according to him, she does the same. He lashed out, insulting her intelligence, and said that no one knows who she is, and of course, mispronounced her name. Here he is, spiraling.
She certainly attacks me personally. She actually called me weird. He's weird. It was just a soundbite. And she called JD and I weird. He's not weird. He was a great student at Yale.
The way he says weird is just so weird. I can't. Anyways, this all feels very reminiscent of second grade. Like, I'm allowed to call my brother a name because he called me a name. So that is okay. That all is bizarre. But I will say, while this is getting under Trump's skin, it's certainly not getting under mine. I, for one, am really enjoying watching them. Not like go low, but like have fun with it.
Yeah. They're not quite going low, if we're being honest.
Exactly. The most notable examples of Democrats sidestepping the high road was when Minnesota Governor Tim Walz alluded to a buzzy internet story about his Republican counterpart, J.D. Vance. He did it during his first rally with Vice President Kamala Harris in Atlanta earlier this month, just a few hours after she announced Governor Walz as her running mate.
And I got to tell you, I can't wait to debate the guy. That is, if he's willing to get off the couch and show up. So, you see what I did there?
Yeah, if you have been on the internet at all in the past few weeks, you definitely see what he did there. You know the story about Vance having, shall we say, an American Pie moment with the couch. This is a family-friendly program, so we can't really get into further details, but please feel free to Google.
It is not a real story, no. And it's the kind of story that we have to dance around until a vice presidential nominee decides to say it out loud on a rally stage.
That is Aaron Blake, a senior political reporter for The Washington Post. So, yeah, the couch story is fake. But Blake says Democrats' willingness to even hint at it is a notable departure from the last few election cycles. Previously, Democrats had focused on drawing a contrast with Trump and his over 30,000 lies and falsehoods, according to The Washington Post, and that was just during his presidency. And to be clear, the Democrats aren't anywhere close to dabbling in Trump levels of misinformation and disinformation, not even close, but we have seen lawmakers more willing to stretch the truth this cycle. It's something Blake has been following. Here's the rest of our conversation. Now, I'm old enough to remember that this used to be the party of Michelle Obama when she said, okay, when they go low, we go high. But now it seems like the Democrats are more and more getting comfortable going a little low. What does that say about where the party is right now?
Yeah, it is really interesting. You know, Michelle Obama is known for they go low, we go high. That was something that she said during the 2016 campaign. And I think we've seen, even up until recently, the Democratic Party feeling like they would rather be high-minded about things. They didn't want to sink to Donald Trump's level. They're certainly not going to his level at this point. Like, Donald Trump has done things throughout his time in politics that have no modern precedent. But Democrats have gotten more comfortable doing things like making allusions to the couch. You know, I think there's kind of been a gradual acknowledgement that they need to employ some of these tactics, even if they're not quite as far as what the Republican ticket has been doing.
So beyond the couch story, what other attacks have we been seeing from the Harris campaign that fit this profile?
One is the weird attack, you know, calling J.D. Vance and Donald Trump weird. You know, certainly that's not far afield from what Democrats have talked about before, but it's different than calling someone a threat to democracy, which is at least kind of based on a policy dispute and actions. The other thing that I think hasn't got a whole lot of attention is you do see social media posts from the Harris campaign posting clips of J.D. Vance and Trump and adding text to them that kind of suggest they said something that's different than what they said or zapping some context out of it. This is something that campaigns often do, so it's not that far afield from what Democrats used to do. But some of the captions on these social media posts have been pretty misleading. So, for example, there was an instance where Trump was talking about how Americans who opposed him were animals. And that was the caption for this video that they put out. Well, Trump didn't say that. He was talking about specifically the people who wanted to put him in prison. So kind of small misleading captions on these social media posts that I think gets at kind of a willingness to kind of think outside the box and get a little bit more loose with how they're running the campaign.
So the contrast to all of this would seem to be how Harris handles the chants of lock him up that we've seen at some of her rallies. This, of course, was a favorite chant at Trump rallies in 2016, directed at Hillary Clinton. We're going to play a quick clip of how Harris responded at her rally in Nevada last week.
Well, hold on. The court's going to take care of that. We just don't beat him in November.
Aaron, what do you make of her comments there?
A couple thoughts. One is that even as the Harris campaign has embraced some of these quote-unquote lower strategies, tactics, they have sought to have this kind of overarching theme of joy and optimism. So they're not going whole hog down into the mud. The other thing that I think is reflected in that clip is the idea that the courts are not probably going to rule on of these other cases that are going to matter more politically before the election. So to the extent that Democrats were actually going to rely on that as an argument against Trump, these things are going to be in limbo. They've been in limbo, and they're probably going to be in limbo even on election day. You know, but that's also a contrast to how Republicans have handled things for a long time. You know, Trump really played into the lock her up chance. He didn't do it initially, but by the time the debates came around in 2016, he told Hillary Clinton, you know, you'd be in jail if I were president. So there is a difference between how the parties handled these kinds of things, but that is an important kind of dividing line between how the Harris campaign is conducting itself.
And like you've already said, right, you know, we're not trying to equate what the Democrats are doing to Trump's thousands and thousands of outright lies and absurdity. That being said, though, is it even realistic to expect that Democrats would avoid even mildly dabbling in these questionable tactics, especially in light of so many of them talking about how this election is existential at this point?
Yeah, it's a really good question because we have seen Democrats run against Donald Trump before. I think the difference between 2016 and 2020 is that there was an expectation among Democrats that they were going to win. You know, Hillary Clinton was supposed to win that race. Joe Biden was leading that race throughout. So there wasn't a premium on kind of going outside the box and maybe getting a little bit down and dirty. Whereas up until a couple weeks ago, Democrats were really concerned about the state of this race. They felt like they were behind, and the polls certainly bore that out. And so that creates kind of an impetus for action and rethinking how you're doing things. And what we see from the Biden campaign and now the Harris campaign is it seems like there were a lot of people kind of behind the scenes raring to go, maybe not specifically with these kinds of strategies, but to get more active and to put more of a message out there, and that we just didn't see that when Biden was at the top of the ticket. So they seem to be freed up. They seem to be more willing to try new things. And this is certainly one of those things.
Are there any risks that are out there by amplifying, right, even a fake story that's ultimately innocuous, such as this one about J.D. Vance and the couch?
There is certainly. From a strictly political standpoint, you risk people deciding that they don't like that you're doing this. You know, maybe this is something they didn't like about Donald Trump making false claims and the nicknames that he has for his opponents. Maybe they decide that this kind of muddies the water for them a little bit when it comes to those kinds of things. And then just for our political process, you know, It does matter when one side does something and the other side doesn't. When both sides start doing something or getting a little bit dirtier, that just kind of becomes the way things operate moving forward. So to the extent that the Democrats are kind of getting involved in making couch jokes and things like that, that kind of sets a precedent for future campaigns. And then the other thing that I think is important to consider here is this is something that the Harris campaign has not put this out there as this couch story is true. They've not said that. It's always been in a joking manner. But this is something that people who don't pay much attention may be led to believe is true. And a lot of people don't do their homework. They may just understand this to be something that's actually real. And to the extent people are not understanding the real stakes and what candidates have said in the past or what they've actually done, you know, that is not a good thing to, you know, result from all of this, to the extent that that's actually going to wind up being the case.
We are hearing a lot that this is a race that's going to be won on the margin. So my last question to you, how effective do you think these lines of attack might be specifically, right, for those voters who aren't already party faithful? Because I have to say, a lot of people in my neck of the woods, they like the little jabs. They're like, yes, finally, the Democrats are like not taking it, laying down.
Yeah, I mean, some people do want their side to fight, or they want to see some fight out of the Democrats. You know, this isn't just a joke in a vacuum either. This is also a joke that gets at a central theme for the Democratic ticket, which is this idea that Donald Trump and J.D. Vance are weird. Like, what's weirder than this joke that they're making about J.D. Vance, which we don't need to go into detail about. But it does get at this kind of central theme. And so to the extent that this kind of comes to epitomize that attack, maybe there's some strategy in putting it out there beyond just getting an applause line and getting people to laugh at your joke at a rally.
That was Aaron Blake, senior reporter at The Washington Post.
We'll get to some headlines in just a moment, but if you like our show, please make sure to subscribe, share it with your friends. We'll be right back after some ads.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Let's get to some headlines.
Headlines.
The death toll in Gaza has officially passed 40,000, according to Palestinian health officials. It's been more than 300 days since Israel launched its assault on the enclave. Officials say the deceased are mostly women and children, and more than 92,000 have been injured. Mediators from Qatar, Egypt, and the U.S. met with Israeli officials to continue talks for a ceasefire on Thursday. But Hamas did not attend the meeting after accusing Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of negotiating in bad faith. Benny Gantz, a former member of Israel's war cabinet, who resigned from his post earlier this year over disagreements with Netanyahu related to the war on Gaza, also criticized the prime minister for the stalled negotiations. Gantz told Netanyahu, quote, "The time has come for you to stop worrying about the fate of the government and only concern yourself with the fate of the country. For once, be brave."
Vice President Kamala Harris is set to announce her plan to lower the cost of groceries and other everyday essentials today at a rally in North Carolina. According to campaign officials, the vice president will call on Congress to pass a federal ban on price gouging during her speech. She'll also outline other actions that she'll take in her first 100 days as president to lower consumer prices if she is elected. Very excited about this one. I feel like it's going to really resonate with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
This comes after Harris and President Biden hosted a joint campaign event on Thursday to announce the deal that they made with Medicare to lower the cost of some medications for senior citizens, which is expected to save them $1.5 billion in out-of-pocket costs. It was their first appearance together since Biden exited the presidential race. Take a listen to Harris thanking Biden for his work on the policy.
"Today, we take the next step, thank you, Joe, forward in our fight.
The new drug prices go into effect in 2026. Okay, we're talking drug prices. We're talking the price of groceries, things that you're buying every day for your household. These are things we know people care about deeply. So I'm very curious and excited to see how this goes.
Yes, I would like for eggs to be affordable again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, slap that on a red hat.
Okay. Republican vice presidential nominee J.D. Vance has agreed to a debate against Democratic VP pick Tim Walz. The debate will take place on October 1st and air on CBS. Both VP candidates have also been invited to a CNN debate on September 18th. So far, only Vance has accepted. Vance and former President Donald Trump continue to attack the Harris-Walz campaign on social media for not making more unscripted appearances. Vice President Harris and Trump are set to debate on September 10th on ABC.
I cannot wait because we know J.D. Vance is just going to do the weirdest possible shit during this debate. Yeah, I got my popcorn. It is ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a big week for media unions. SAG-AFTRA video game actors picketed on Thursday as their strike continues, and the Animation Guild also started contract negotiations this week. Both unions are emphasizing artificial intelligence protections, with many claiming that AI poses an existential threat to their industries. Speaking in front of thousands at a rally on Saturday, storyboard artist Nora Meek said that the only way to protect themselves from AI is to organize.
"Is the head of Warner Brothers Discovery gonna bring back human-led artistry if we work a little harder for him?"
And they are not the only ones with union news. Here at Crooked Media, we have just unanimously ratified our first contract with the Writers Guild of America East after more than a year of negotiations. Representatives from the Crooked Media Workers Union said in a statement on Thursday that the contract, quote, "sets a new standard for the industry at large." We just want to congratulate our colleagues on this. This is really incredible.
Oh, yes. Pew, 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 pew. Pew, 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 pew.
I know, and the effort of a lot of hard work from a lot of people. So hats off. This really does set a new standard, and I hope more places adopt it.
Absolutely.
And those are the headlines. One more thing before we go. It's been a little over 2 years since the Dobbs decision overturned Roe v. Wade, removing the constitutional right to abortion. We're still reeling from the Supreme Court decision to take the country back a whole 50 years on abortion. But for an entire movement of high-ranking GOP creeps, Dobbs is just the beginning. On this week's Strict Scrutiny, Kate, Melissa, and Leah look back on that fateful 2022 decision and how it rocked the reproductive world since. They'll also dig into the ways that severe abortion restrictions tie into the horrifying white man plans of Project 2025. To learn more about the repercussions of this decision and follow all the news that's fit to scream about, look for the episode titled State of the Uterus on the Strict Scrutiny feed.
That is all for today. If you like the show, make sure you subscribe, leave a review, get your popcorn ready for the VP debates, and tell your friends to listen.
And if you are into reading and not just reports of big union wins like me, well, today is also a nightly newsletter. Check it out and subscribe at crooked.com/subscribe. I'm Priyanka Arabindi.
I'm Trayvell Anderson.
And protect Tim Walz from the Spice Isle. Maybe I think a really cute campaign video would be Kamala Harris taking him to the Spice Isle and maybe educating him a little bit on things he might be able to try. Let's expand the palette.
Beyond black pepper.
Maybe it's a learning lesson for us all. Maybe not us all, but like...
Because you and I know a little bit about a little spice, okay?
Yeah, the rest of you, I don't know.
What A Day is a production of Crooked Media. It's recorded and mixed by Bill Lance. Our associate producer is Raven Yamamoto. We had production help today from Michelle Aloy, Ethan Oberman, John Milstein, Greg Walters, and Julia Clare. Our showrunner is Erica Morrison, and our executive producer is Adrian Hill. Our theme music is by Colin Gilliard and Kashaka.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Say big now during Menards Super Savings Sale. Brighten your home with a 3-panel LED light bulb. Now just $1.99. Stay warm with a hardwood firewood bundle. Only $3.99. Stock up with Clorox All-Purpose Cleaner. Just $2.99. A 16-pack of Zest Bar Soap is only $7.99. Hurry, these great deals won't last long. Sign up for Menards emails to get the weekly flyer plus exclusive daily flash sales right to your inbox. Save big.